All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NFL podcast for Friday, November 24th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Go over to the site. As always, DFSR.com/NBA will get you that free three-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. Free for 3 days and then $34.95 a month. After that includes optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings NFL, NBA. You're all set to go under one subscription package. So go check that out, DFSR.com/NBA. And we made all of our Black Friday jokes on the NBA podcast. So I'm not going to rehash all of the same silly Black Friday jokes. No Black Friday sale here.
We have no deals. That's all you need to know. It's not a joke. No deals being offered as of now.
Yeah, no deals. That's it. That's the big Black Friday news. No deal happening. So you also go check out our NBA podcast as well if you're playing DFS NBA. So that's all under our same iTunes. Or it's, you can search for it under an iTunes, DFSR.com, or DFSR NBA podcast. All right, buddy, week 12 coming up upon us. Three games we just kind of slogged through football-wise yesterday. I mean, any big takeaways from yesterday before we get into this? Vernon Davis, of course, he's going to push the Giants' defense first tight end numbers to look a little bit better because he just completely no-showed. It's like, can it happen any other way? Like, this guy's got the perfect matchup. Everything's lining up. Gets one target. Doesn't. I thought he got hurt, and he just didn't. But, I mean, like, is this like...
I did learn that Vernon Davis is... more importantly, like, I did learn that Vernon Davis's favorite Thanksgiving food besides turkey, sweet potato yams.
Awesome. That's great.
Which are both the same food. It's that's like my favorite food is potatoes. Thanks a lot, Vernon. Maybe focus a little bit more on the watching the film or whatever. Okay. Leave the jokes to other people.
Overall, just kind of like a kind of a mad day for football in general. I mean, the Lions almost staged a comeback to cover the point spread, and they never really were going to give it anyone. Actually, I will say this one thing. I'm in this like big pick 'em pool where I'm doing pretty well on a week to week basis, and it's good for the whole season.
The users love your check ins on your pick 'em pools.
No, well, this is the only reason I care about spreads. But listen, so yesterday I was like, I turned to my dad as we're sitting there in the last game when the Vikings go to kick a field goal. I was like, I don't think it's too much to ask for them to just block this kick and just run it back for a touchdown and then go for the 2-point conversion to cover the 3.5. I was like, I don't think that's too much ask. And then boom, 1 second later, they block the kick and the guy runs for the entire way and scores a touchdown and gets called back by a flag. I'm like, everyone stares at me in this game. I was like, I'm going to curse. I was like, oh my God, it's going to happen. I can't believe this. And then all of a sudden, all my dreams are dashed when they pull the flag out and they all go back. The guy was like 8 yards offside. The only reason he blocked it was because he was basically standing on top of the kicker when the ball was snapped. He almost caught the snap, basically. Okay, so we'll go through some game by game breakdown. We typically post a cash game podcast where we break some of down our plays for the week. The article is up, and we'll just kind of highlight some of the guys that I mentioned in the article as we go game by game here, since we did the Thanksgiving Day one. I think this week is. We mentioned this in the recap episode, but some of the lines in this game, these games are huge. I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, there are 5 games with minus 10 or more favorites going here, which is that's definitely the most that we've seen all season. So there could be some potential blowout risk coming this week, could be some high scoring stuff. We'll get into it and break down some of the news and notes and where you think you can kind of start yourself for cash games and for tournaments. Tennessee goes in and plays Indiana. Tennessee -3 here. They've been a team we've got waiting on for just one of the running backs to not be able to play one of the games. That hasn't happened this whole season as they continue to split carries. Passing game is pretty unexciting, though. I mean, obviously, Indiana's a good matchup here in the sense that they're not very good on defense. Anything you like on either side? There's a couple guys I like here. I'm wondering some of your thoughts on some of the plays in this game.
Yeah, Matthews continues to put up random big games from time to time. He got Richarded again last week, going out there, punching in another touchdown, 19 fantasy points. But he just kind of comes and goes. I think he's an ongoing consideration for big tournaments. Outside of that on Tennessee, I mean, Delanie Walker is a guy who gets a reasonable amount of target share for them. Tight end has been particularly terrible this season. So, you know, if you find yourself $5,900 to spend, he did catch for 92 yards last week. Hasn't gotten in the end zone recently. I think that's a little bit of run ban, though. He cuts the profile of a pretty good red zone target. So I think we'll see that turn for him at some point. But outside of that, though, Tennessee, man, it's not a lot going on here.
Yeah, Walker is one of the guys I wrote up. I really like him this week. He leads the team in targets. I'm with you that he leads the team in red zone targets also, and just has not caught one of the touchdowns yet. So I think that's not to say that he's going to catch a touchdown this week, but when you lead the team in red zone targets and you lead your team in targets, you are the highest favorite on your team to score a touchdown through the passing game, and it just hasn't happened for him yet this year. I really like Doyle for the same reason on the other side of the ball. Doyle's another guy that's seen a ton of targets. The price is not very high this week. I think it's reasonable to possibly play both of these guys on DraftKings where they're coming pretty cheap, and tight end usually comes in pretty cheap. And then there are a couple other tight ends I like this week, but I like if in terms of like that middle tier of guys, these strike me as safe on their prices. And that's really the only two guys I kind of like in this game. Do you like anything on the Indiana side? They keep giving the ball to Frank Gore. Frank Gore is like the minimum price on DraftKings. He's 3,600. He stinks, but like they do still give him the ball. Like the last three games, 17 carries, 17 and 16 carries. He's kind of hit value twice on this. He does catch some balls out of the backfield. I mean, 3,600 for Gore is getting pretty damn cheap. I kind of don't want to play Gore, but the system really likes him on this price.
I think he's totally playable on DraftKings at that price. I mean, on FanDuel, you're not going to consider him. The yards per carry have just been simply too bad. But yeah, you're telling me, like, with any other player, say we just didn't know who Frank Gore was, and we knew that someone was going to come up, and you had a crystal ball that said, this guy is going to get 18 touches in the game. You play any player in the NFL on DraftKings at 3,600 there. And I think Gore is no exception. Basically, and the other thing to him too, he's not like a definitive goal line back or anything like that, but he should be a guy that could score touchdowns on this team too, just given the sheer volume of number of time he touches the ball. Heaven forbid he scores a touchdown on a $3,600 price tag. You'll feel like you're getting away with murder. So yeah, I think Gore is a very, very good DraftKings play. I think Doyle's okay. I think the targets come and go with Doyle. I think he probably is a little bit less safe than Walker in my mind, in spite of having those two really big target weeks. They kind of come and go. The Colts have, at least they have T.Y. Hilton, who's at least nominally a pretty good target option there, even if he hasn't always worked out either. But yeah, the Colts are just another bad team. A lot of bad teams this year.
We have Walker projected for slightly higher than Doyle, but Doyle is just cheaper on both sides. He's 10% cheaper on DraftKings, just 200 less on FanDuel. So yeah. It'd be more just like if you think you need to save an extra $100 or whatever it is. All right, keep rolling through some of these games. The next one, Tampa Bay goes in to play Atlanta. Atlanta, huge favorites here, -10. The big injury news and note from this one is we're still waiting for Devontae Freeman to clear out of the concussion protocol. As of right now, he has not. I think there's speculation or optimism that he will be available to play. If he weren't to play, though, like let's say he didn't clear it by tomorrow, I think you need to clear it before 24 hours. I'm not exactly sure the rule. I think it's 24 hours before the game starts, but I suspect we know today whether or not he's going to play. If he weren't to play, though, do we just fire Tevin Coleman? Wasn't very good last game, but they gave him the ball. Would we just easily go back and fire him up in cash games again at his price if there was no Freeman?
Probably so. I mean, 21 touches against a tough Seattle defense, moving over to play Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, no slouch on defense this year, kind of middle of the pack. But I think if you're going to get 21 touches out of a guy at 6,200 on FanDuel, and I think there's probably upside for more given the positive game script that Vegas is projecting here, then I think, yeah, Coleman is absolutely a very, very strong cash game option.
Other than him, and we've seen the targets really never completely materialize for these Falcons guys. They've spread the ball around. The offense just has not been as good this season. One guy that I am possibly interested though here is Matt Ryan. The price has come down. I mean, I have one clear cash game play this week at quarterback, and it's Russell Wilson. So I'm just going to not to bury the lead here, but like I'm going to caveat by saying any quarterback I mention here, I like them considerably less than I like Wilson. But yep, Ryan is kind of close here. I mean, he's pretty cheap on DraftKings. Only 6,400 on DraftKings. For a guy that like can pay this price, do you like Ryan in this spot?
Yeah, I think Ryan's fine. We've seen him pay better than 2x on this price fairly consistently. You know, it can dip down lower. I mean, we were seeing a lot of rushing touchdowns out of the Falcons. They're also just for a guy with the supposed pedigree of Ryan and with Ryan's accuracy too, it's very odd to me that he just doesn't get more pass attempts. But the Falcons have been very clear about wanting to keep him around that 30 to 33 pass attempts per game. And that just makes it tough to justify a $7,600 price tag on FanDuel. That being said, on DraftKings, yeah, the price is very competitive. And I think he's within that small group of quarterbacks you can look at.
Tampa Bay's still going to be without Jameis here, so they're still going out there with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, it makes him a C passive, I think.
Yeah, I just don't know what you kind of do. Like, Fitzpatrick is like at least an NFL quarterback in the sense that he's played snaps. I just don't know if you're getting away with anything by him at his prices. He did throw 37 passes last week. Didn't really do a whole hell of a lot with him. Mike Evans was still the highest target guy with double digit targets. The quality of those targets weren't that good with Jameis, and they're not that good with Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fine fantasy total for Fitzpatrick for sure. And I think if you're going to be going 22 for 37, you're average expectation in terms of interceptions is higher than zero. So I think there's a lot of ways that it doesn't work out with Fitzpatrick and not so many ways that it does. So for that reason, I'm probably not going to play the guy.
Yeah, he's a guy that I'm interested in playing when like he was coming in like bottom of the barrel in terms of price wise, and that's just not the case with him right now. So sure. I think we can just kind of move on. We don't need to get too enamored with anything going on the Bucs side of the ball. One interesting game here. So the next game is Buffalo and Kansas City. Lots of kind of breakdown here. So KC is a minus 10 favorite. They came in as big favorites last week on the road against the Giants, and we saw what happened there where they lost and kind of just got dusted, mostly on the play of Alex Smith being pretty bad. Now they're minus 10 favorites. I mean, Kareem Hunt's price has dropped another 10% off of just last week's low that you were buying him at. After just the beginning of the season, it was in that Le'Veon Bell kind of territory. The price has been steadily dropping. Now we're in a weird spot with him. Like, he's now priced to me more in line of like the running back that he actually is with his opportunity at 7,700 on FanDuel. You did not feel comfortable playing him last week against the Giants. Does the price dip, the next $700 price dip make you want to go back there at all on him in what could be a decent matchup here? I mean, he's a home favorite. This is exactly what we're looking for in running backs. What are your thoughts on Hunt?
He could be. In the last 2 weeks, he's played Dallas and the Giants. Dallas and the Giants have allowed the fifth and second most rushing yards in the NFL, respectively. In those two games, he combined for what would amount to be a pretty good fantasy performance on that price. So I still don't like Kareem Hunt. I mean, I think he stinks. I think their rushing attack is garbage. And I think what we saw in the first 3 weeks of the season was like one of these really cruel, like fatalistic things that was designed to just trick DFS players for over the course of the whole season. I just think he's not good. I think his real price is something like 7,000. I think you can probably play him. I think he'll be highly owned here. And it's potentially not even incorrect to do so. Buffalo is still a pretty positive matchup. The game script obviously rates to go in his favor. But at what point can people look and say, okay, it's now been almost an entire season. Like, pretend that the first three games of the season were the last three games of last season, and that we were only in like week 10, and his average fantasy points over the course of the season had been 10. Would we still like playing him? How is he fundamentally worth 2,000 more than Frank Gore, I guess is my question. He's just, I don't know. He's just totally ordinary to me. I just don't think he's very good at all.
Yep, I'm with you. It's very weird. This has been one of the hardest things to evaluate with these guys. Like, there was a completely unknown coming in, had a historic like first 3 weeks, and has completely disappeared. And thankfully, for a while, the price was in at a place where we just didn't even need to consider it because it was just too expensive.
Yeah, 9,300.
Yeah, and that's just too expensive relative to what he had done early in the season. So like, not worried about it. But now we're really starting to question it. And Buffalo 31st against the rush, DVOA against the rush this season. So it's not like they're any good. And as we've said many times, home big home favorites is exactly where you want to buy with running backs. And I suspect this is the conversation that we have. This is the most in-depth conversation that we have going into Sunday, as to whether or not it's worth playing 7,700 for him, judging based on some of the other running back options. I love Kelce in this game too. I think it's kind of could be probably worth it to pay up for him in this spot at 7,500, mostly because there's not a ton to love in the rest of the receiving game. Like, it's paying up for receiver, it doesn't seem like it's like all that great of a spot this week. So I actually don't mind playing for Kelce. He's showing up in something like 100% of our lineups right now, and I don't think I mind it. Do you think, would he be a guy you'd be worried about playing in cash games here at 75?
No, I like Kelce, actually. I think he's the guy, like, when I try to look at tight ends, I try to evaluate them as their production compares to wide receivers at similar price ranges. And Kelce passes that test with flying colors. I mean, 10, 9, and 14 targets in each of the last 3 weeks. As the run game becomes less effective, I think they're going to lean on Kelce even more. And he's converting a ton of his targets actually into receptions too. So really checking all the boxes in terms of an effective tight end. He's a great red zone target. Since Kareem Hunt has even had difficulty in short yardage, I think he sees an uptick in his opportunity there. And it's a strong matchup. So I think I would much rather have Kelce in my lineups than Hunt if I could only pick one player in that price range from this team.
For sure. On the Buffalo side, a note just came out that Mike Tolbert is not going to play. I don't think they even have another running back besides LeSean McCoy. I think last week they went into the game with only two healthy running backs, with Tolbert and McCoy. And now Tolbert's gone, and they're going to bring Tyrod Taylor back because the Peterman experiment was pretty much a failure on the first drive. And then just, he made sure to just completely cement it by just throwing the next three picks. But I'm wondering your thoughts here on McCoy. Like, he had a huge game getting completely blown out last week against the Chargers. I just think he's on the field for the entire game. Like, no matter what happens, I hate playing running backs in this kind of spot, like, just because it's huge underdogs. And he's kind of close for me just because I think If this was his highest carry week of the season, it wouldn't completely shock me. What are your thoughts on McCoy here?
I don't like McCoy. I don't really know why Tolbert giving 2 to 4 carries back to McCoy really makes any difference. He could have 2 to 4 more carries in this game. The game script is going directly opposite of where you'd like it to go. We have seen McCoy have some usage in the passing game in the past. So like, I guess if you could see him going back into like the early season where he was getting 7 targets per game, that sounds pretty good. But for whatever reason, Buffalo just hasn't cared about that in the last 3 games. 1 target, 5 targets, and then 1 target last game. Understanding the last game was kind of weird, but he was also like really effective last game and just still couldn't get his hands on the ball. So I don't know what to make of him. I think that both running backs in this game, they kind of are similar to me, you know, both kind of built on early season hype. By the way, I forgot to mention about Kareem Hunt too. Sharkhandrick West comes out, has 4 carries, which was by far his most of the season. And 4 receptions out of the receiving game. So just don't play Kareem Hunt. I really feel strongly about that. McCoy kind of in the same category. I don't know why he would be the one I would want to stick my neck out for just because Tolbert's not playing.
For tournaments, I think he's probably going to be like one of my favorite tournament running backs, I think, just because I don't think anyone's going to play him. And I do think that you could see higher usage from him this week.
Yeah, and if the game goes in the other direction, there is a scenario where McCoy has 30 fantasy points. So I think from that perspective, yeah, that's a good point.
Miami goes in and plays New England. This is the highest line, spread we've seen all season. New England's minus 16.5 point favorites against a Miami team that's going to start. Looks like Matt Moore is going to start again with Cutler in the concussion protocol. This one could be well over very early. Like I said, we've not seen a line this high all season. We probably won't see another one this high. New England's defense has been improved. I don't think you can consider really anything. Well, actually, take that back. Jarvis Landry was a guy we talked about. He's a guy that I'm still kind of thinking he's been quarterback independent. Like, it hasn't mattered who's been throwing him the passes.
I think Landry's a great player.
Yeah, his target share has been there completely. And I think even at 7,100, the game script really is only going to go against Miami here, right? Like, it's not going to go four like where they're running downhill or whatever. So double digit.
Yeah, Landry, and Landry also, he's the first look in the red zone for them too. I think there's a lot to be very bullish on Landry. I mean, off the top of your head, and I know that you've been following Landry all season, how many games would you guess he's had fewer than double-digit targets in a given game this season?
I mean, it might be 0, but I would say the most is 1. Like,
there's 2 games that, okay, he had fewer than double-digit targets. That is insane level of target share, right, for a guy that's at 7,100. I mean, he's very similar to Keenan Allen, another guy that our system loved, who, you know, once again went off after we started projecting him to do so. But Landry, I think it's just a phenomenal play. I think he's worth arguably 10% more than his current price is. The Johnny come lately is Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills. They can come and go, but Landry is the one really consistent feature of this offense that I think you can trust going forward.
Yeah, he's getting expensive. 7,100 on FanDuel, 68 on DraftKings. It's pushing the price up, but the price is correct now, though. It's been low for too long. And I said this a couple of podcasts ago, but I think if anything, he's just kind of run bad on the yardage too. That's where he really, that's the thing where his targets are right up there with Hopkins and Brown in terms of overall top of the tier, just in terms of looks. And it's just, but he's like half the amount of yards or something like that. He just gets no yards. A lot of that's kind of the routes they run with him, but still think he's in a great spot here this week. New England's side of the ball, huge favorites. It's hard to trust exactly what they're doing. They don't have a clear, I guess Deion Lewis has carried the ball more. He doesn't strike me as a feature back kind of guy. They do have Rex Burkhead here. Whenever you have a total this high, there's a good chance that you just have a GVP winning guy in this kind of game. And what I find with New England, it's just kind of difficult to figure out who that guy is going to be.
Yeah, Cooks was that guy last week. Went for almost 150 and a touch. Was one of the highest receivers overall. The target share isn't totally there for him in that price range. He has fewer targets than, say, Jarvis Landry at 500 less. But what Cooks does bring to the table that guys like Landry don't is just that downfield ability. And Brady can still throw that deep ball. So the fact that he can turn 6 targets into 149 yards and a touch means that if the targets go up to around his season high, like 11, and say he converts slightly more targets into receptions, like 9, you could see absolutely huge games out of him. So I think if you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle, much easier than lightning in a bottle, by the way. But
so much easier. It's so much bigger.
It's like I'm seeing a beach ball right now.
Imagine if I was trying to catch this lightning in a bottle. It'd be so hard, but this barrel, God, it's so easy.
Exactly, dude. I think he's a guy you can consider. Gronk limited in practice. That was due to illness, so I don't think that necessarily opens up much opportunity here. But yeah, I think with New England, it comes down to Brady typically, and then pairing Brady with the right guy. And my guess is Cooks is that guy.
Yep. And like I said, if you're going to take a shot on someone in the running game because you think they just this through the week, they get 15 carries because they're winning. Deion Lewis, like he did lead the team in rushing attempts last week with 10 and for 60 yards, also caught four of his four targets. So interesting guy, yeah, kind of getting
Burkhead
a little
last week too. I think it's kind of a fool's errand trying to guess his Patriots running game.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to try to do it in cash because I think, again, it's you're just setting yourself up to be disappointed. And then for tournaments, there is some upside, especially for Lewis if he's like the goal line guy. Anything else? I guess we kind of covered it all. All right, hit us up with a sponsor, then we'll kind of keep rolling through some of these games.
Sure, let's talk about FantasyFactor.com. FantasyFactor.com is a great place to go and play NFL free rolls. They have them every week. It's also a great place to go just if you want to play, say, $5 to $100 on a given slate, but you don't want to be up against people putting in 50, 100, 150 lineups in a given contest the way you and I will be this weekend, Doug. So it's a great place to go and check them out. FantasyFactor.com, no promo code or anything, but the product is so good that it stands on its own. So go check them out and shoot them an email if you like them there and tell them we sent you so they keep giving us those sweet, sweet sponsorship dollars.
Carolina goes in and plays the Jets. We thought we were going to see a Christian McCaffrey kind of take over more of the carries on a week-to-week basis, and then just as soon as that happened, it didn't happen again when they played last time, and he just ceded a lot of that stuff to Jonathan Stewart again. So I think we're kind of caught in no man's land. Yeah, no man's land when it comes to McCaffrey after really, really liking him going into the last week. Other guys, there have some receiver issues here, I think, because I believe Curtis Samuel is going to sit now. But they're going to get Greg Olsen back. I wrote Cam up. I don't mind Cam in this matchup here. Cam's been running more. He gets one of his weapons back in Olsen this week. Can you talk yourself into, again, I'm going to caveat by saying I like these guys all a lot less than Wilson, but do you think Cam is a reasonable play this week against a Jets team that's not very good?
An upside play, possibly. I don't see who you would pair him with. Funchess is too expensive. Olsen is still too uncertain, given how much of the season he's missed. So, yeah, I mean, sure, for big tournaments, he's the type of guy who can punch in a couple rushing touchdowns and really pay off. His average, actually, fantasy points per game is pretty solid this season, in spite of his incredible inconsistency, and that only speaks to his upside. You know, two games this season with 34 or more fantasy points on a very competitive price. So, yeah, the upside's there.
With Samuel out, we saw Russell Shepard did get 7 targets in the passing game last week. He's the minimum on DraftKings. So if you're looking to possibly you know, slot in a mid-price wide receiver, it's a little weird with him because, again, they didn't have Olsen back then. It's also tough to know exactly, you know, how quickly Olsen reintegrates into a full snap count. It doesn't stand to reason it's going to happen in his first week back. But I think taking a shot on a guy like Shepard, you don't love the Cams throwing him the ball. So that's kind of one of the problems. But after that, he's just coming so cheap, only 3,200 on DraftKings. Sometimes you need those kind of guys to just kind of round out a lineup. All right, keep moving on here. Oh, actually, real quick, anything on the – I'm skipping the Jets. No. All right, moving on. Cleveland goes in and plays Cincinnati. And Cleveland, I believe, has still not won a game this season. Doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon. Their team just looks ridiculously horrible. I think they're going to get – it's next week they're going to get Josh Gordon back. Gordon has been practicing, but I don't Who think cares? He's playing this week. I believe he's going to play next week. That's just interesting because the guys, but you rarely see a guy just disappears from the league for 4 years and then kind of just comes back. I don't think it's going to have any fantasy implications. Cincinnati side, here we go. They're -8 favorites at home against a Cleveland team that is really pretty damn bad on defense. Do you think, I take that back. They're not terrible. They're 12th overall in DVOA, 13th overall in DVOA. Joe Mixon's a guy that is getting some love in our system because he's part of that home favorite and has been getting the carries more. We know that Jeremy Hill is not there anymore. Mixon's another one of these guys, sort of like Frank Gore. He's only 4,400 on DraftKings, and it looks like he's going to get a lot of the touches. Can we talk ourselves into another week of Joe Mixon in cash? And with the idea that I definitely don't want to do it, and the system kind of does.
I think you can play him on DraftKings. That's the exact kind of price you're looking for on Mixon. Cincinnati has precious few opportunities to score, but when they do, I think Mixon's the goal line back. So, yeah, I think he's playable over there. I don't think you probably want to bother on FanDuel. And on the receiving side for the Bengals, I don't know. I don't want to play any of these guys. AJ Green seems way too expensive for a guy with 16 total targets in the last couple of weeks. And especially with that offense, I get that he's their red zone threat, but the downside risk is too great. One guy I wanted to ask you about, though, on the Cleveland side, actually, Corey Coleman goes out there, 11 targets against Jacksonville, turns it into 6 receptions for 80 yards. He's coming cheap on both sides. Do you have any love for Corey Coleman this week?
Oh, man. We've been down this road with these Browns wide receivers.
We sure have.
It really just doesn't work out. It's just the quarterback is, he's so bad. Kaiser is such a bad, he's definitely the worst starting quarterback in football.
No way. You think he's definitely the worst? There's some really bad guys right now. How about Nathan Peterman?
He's not starting anymore. Tyrod Taylor started.
He started last week.
He's not starting anymore. So he's no longer the worst starting quarterback in football. Kaiser's pretty, maybe not the worst. Maybe I'm overstating. He's really bad though. So yes, Corey Coleman has some pedigree, and he's a guy that if he had a better quarterback, I'd probably be interested in him. He could get a lot of targets again. I just don't want to try. I'm not trusting any cash for 100%. I guess there's some upside in tournaments, and we've just seen double digit target guys on the Browns before, and then all of a sudden the guy is just completely gone because again the whole team is just a complete train wreck. So,
sure. I think we've run out of things to say about this game, unfortunately.
Okay, moving on. Chicago goes in and plays Philly. Philly, another one of these huge favorites at home, -13.5 against the Bears. So they have one of the higher totals on the day as well. They're a team that, man, talk about a committee. This team is taking committee to like a new level. They're like the Navy running offense where they just have like a wishbone running backs and they're just kind of all running in different directions. You can't trust anything on the running side for the Eagles. Though, you know, there's some interest here in the passing game possibly with Jeffrey and or Ertz. But when you look at the passing game options here, do you get worried that the spread is just so high and it all seems to be spread out between all these like just kind of random running backs?
Well, yeah, the spread is high. The opportunity has really been spread out among the ball catchers, too. Jeffrey Ertz, even Aguilar in some games. None of these guys are really consistent target getters, and they're all kind of touchdown dependent. And that's kind of exactly where you don't want to be for cash in a game with a big spread, because if your guy just doesn't happen to get the touchdowns and, you know, Nelson Aguilar goes out there and randomly gets a touchdown or Torrey Smith or just whoever, then you're pretty unhappy. So I think for that reason, I'm probably going to generally stay away from Philly. I think it's just too many mouths to feed. And which is, by the way, probably how most teams should play. Like, it's nothing against Philly for their real football purposes. Keep other teams guessing and keep your players fresh. But yeah, for fantasy, it just makes it pretty untenable.
Oh yeah, they're smart. I'm surprised more teams don't do it. Like mostly just don't want to roster like four running backs like they have. And I think that's usually part of the problem. But overall roster construction kind of thing. But from a pure football standpoint, these guys are going to be completely fresh by the time they possibly get to the Super Bowl, which is kind of what seems like where they're headed. Chicago's Heidi can never consider any of their receivers. I don't think at all. Jordan Howard's a guy that we've played sort of sometimes script independent. I'm not sure this is the week I want to do it. They're just huge underdogs. It feels like this is a situation where they're just barely going to have the ball. Philly runs the ball so well that they just grind out your possessions down to dust. You just don't get the ball enough. So yeah. I think from that point of view, it's very hard to talk yourself into playing any Bears. Moving into the 4 o'clock games, my favorite game here on the slate from a fantasy perspective, and I suspect it's going to be other people's as well. Seattle goes in as -6.5 favorites against San Francisco. I wrote Wilson up as the very clear chalk cash gameplay. I'd be absolutely floored if he wasn't the highest owned quarterback on this slate. San Francisco is horrible. I mean, our projection system, no matter which way he slides here, people project all this stuff all different ways, but football, there's only so many ways you can take it. He's by far the highest projected quarterback in our system. Do you see him being just a runaway chalk in what basically amounts to a perfect matchup? He's the highest scoring fantasy quarterback this season. So, and it's actually kind of like not all that close. He's 20 points ahead of the next closest guy, who's Wentz. Do you think he's just the most, far and away the best play?
Yeah, definitely. The rushing attempts have been there. He punched in a rushing touchdown last week. He has fumbled in each of his last 4 weeks, Doug. That's something to definitely be concerned about. There's nothing to worry about with Wilson. He's just a great player. And that was just a pretty killer use of not here on Black Friday.
There's no way to ever make that sound good. He's one of the rare guys. He leads the team in rushing and passing. I mean, clearly he leads it in passing, but he also, they cannot run the ball at all. That is not going to change. Even against the San Francisco, it's hard to imagine all of a sudden the ground game just starts working out with the Lacy and Rawls kind of group. That hasn't been the case all season. They've had some bad matchups, and I just think that this is going to be the case again. I mean, it is crazy for a court.
Yeah, he just gets all the touchdowns. I mean, getting all the touchdowns really matters. Getting those little 4-point, 6-point boosts here and there, and the actual rushing yards, like being able to pile on 5 to 8 points there, it just adds up in a way that most quarterbacks can't do it. So yeah, I think Wilson's just a phenomenal.
It's been a really long time since an NFL quarterback has led his team in both those categories, mostly because it's just hard to do, because even bad teams just want to give their don't have them have some semblance
of a competent
running game, like just have some guy that can hand the ball off to. And they just, Seattle just another season, they just don't have it. So love Wilson in this matchup. Love Doug Baldwin here too. Again, because they can't run the ball, they're just forced. The pass game becomes the de facto running game. So I think Baldwin's one of the best values on the slate, even at 7,900. Or do you think we're getting too expensive on Baldwin at this point? He is right now the third most expensive wide receiver. He's more expensive than guys like Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Michael Thomas. Would you feel confident putting him in this price tier, putting him in this price tier and playing him in cash again in this matchup?
Probably not. We saw the targets go in the wrong direction each of the last 2 weeks. And, you know, it's easy to remain bullish on a guy like Baldwin because he does get a lot of red zone target share and has been a target hog in the past. But if you look over the course of the whole season now, I think we're probably getting into the point where we can have a pretty respectable sample size. And the fact that he can go from 6 targets to 12 targets to 10, back down to 3 to 4, I think it's just too all over the place to want to pay around 8,000.
Yeah, fair enough. I still am pretty bullish on him, mostly because I just love the matchup here and could be. And I get what you're saying about the targets, and that is something of a concern for sure. If you're worried that you know, guys like Richardson or Lockett are just going to start, or even Jimmy Graham too, are going to eat too much. If there's just too many guys that Wilson is able to pass to at this point, then maybe he doesn't belong in that elite group. San Francisco side, maybe you see something I don't. Carlos Hyde, possibly. I mean, is there something on San Francisco that you see that I don't? Doesn't seem like there's a lot to get excited.
No, not really. Hyde remains a really interesting big tournament play for me because we've seen those huge target weeks at him where he was getting 8 to 11 targets, still the leading ball carrier. But outside of him, no, it's all just a wasteland.
Moving into the 425 games, Denver goes in to play Oakland. Denver's going to start Paxton Lynch. So their crappy quarterback carousel continues to just spin around and around and around, and they're going to get Lynch out this week. This is the guy that they've had on the team for a while and still chose to start Brock Osweiler over. So if there's a shot at your confidence, that's probably one of them. But yet Lynch is going to go out there and play. I don't know if you can really do anything with the Denver passing, really the Denver offense.
No halftime challenge, Deshaun Kizer v. Paxton Lynch. I'll take Kizer, my friend.
Yeah, I'll take Kizer too. I forgot about Lynch.
Yeah, how about that?
So no longer the worst. And maybe we just don't have a sample size enough on Denver. Oakland is a team that we've at times have wanted to target some of the wide receivers. Possibly
this one, my man.
Marshawn, and this does not seem like the place to do it. Marshawn Lynch has touchdown upside and doesn't really do anything else. So it's just he's kind of gets caught in between. They have a decent total, and I just don't see a ton of value here. And Lynch, even he just doesn't get enough carries. Like, again, he's the goal line guy, and he's every once in a while going to get in there, but they still have, as long as they have Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington and, you know, Olawale and all these other guys, it doesn't seem like anyone's seeing enough. No one sees enough carries to really get too excited about. All right, Jacksonville goes into Arizona. Some interesting stuff here. What are your thoughts on Fournette? So if we're talking about paying up for an expensive running back, and there are expensive running backs to pay up for this week, you've already made your feelings about Kareem Hunt very clear, so we don't need to go that way again. I probably don't need to ask if you like Fournette over Hunt, so don't worry about that one. But do you like Fournette in cash games this week? He's 8,100. There are some, like I said, some other expensive guys to possibly pay up for. I did end up writing him up. What are your thoughts on Fournette?
Yeah, I think he's criminally underpriced. How about that? How's that one
really
for you, Doug?
So, like, just complete cash game lock for you then? I mean, like, if he's criminally underpriced, do you see him as just wanting to just jam him into all lineups?
I don't know if you need to jam him in, just because I don't know if this is a week where you want to pay that much at the running back position. But I think that he's just super, super underpriced. I mean, the guy, when healthy, is just a stone-cold lock for mid-20s touches per game with upside in the mid-30s. Like, I just think he's the type of running back that you'll pay 5% more for without too much consideration. This game script could go in his favor. I mean, there's other existential concerns with him, like the ankle injury, the fact that he was limited in practice, which I'm guessing is probably lip service, given the fact that he touched the ball 30 times last week against Cleveland. But yeah, I think Fournette's a great play.
So we'll probably end up bumping him up a little bit over the course of the week. Now, Arizona is pretty good against the run. They're ranked 9th in DVOA this year against opposing running backs. So it's not a fantastic matchup. The total overall is low. Though that's kind of been the case most times with Jacksonville because they don't have a very prolific offense. Marquise Lee is a guy that's showing up in our system, at least on DraftKings, as a decent value. Still only 4,500 over there. I think he does probably draw some Patrick Peterson this week, but maybe it doesn't look like he's going to just... I take that back. He's going to get shadow coverage from Patrick Peterson. Knowing that with the price on 4,500, would that make you not want to play Lee here? I mean, his target share looks pretty good and he's cheap, but that's one of the worst matchups you can draw in football.
Yeah, I'll pass on Lee, I think. We've just seen too many mediocre wide receivers get swallowed up by shadow coverage. He wasn't even that good against Cleveland last week, getting shadowed by a significantly worse cornerback. So I think, I'm just not going to probably want to go there. In fact, in this very game, I guess Fitzgerald's not quite in the same price range, but like for 900 more, I'd much rather play a guy like Fitzgerald. And it's not to say you have to play one and pick them over the other, but there's a guy who's just continuing to get consistent target share, continuing to get consistent looks in the red zone, turning a ton of his targets into receptions, regardless of the quarterback, and is probably going to wind up eating up a lot of people's cash game wide receiver.
Yeah, Fitzgerald's another guy I wrote up actually because I think he's going to avoid the Jalen Ramsey, AJ Boye coverage just because he lines up so much in the slot and those guys don't, according to the Pro Football Focus, never come into the slot. So Aaron Colvin is, according to them, by far their worst rated cornerback, and that looks like who Fitzgerald is going to grab. And I'm with you on the target, so I think he's a very, very strong cash game play, even with the understanding that Gabbert is the quarterback, and he's just kind of one of these guys that not completely quarterback, like sort of like Landry, like not completely quarterback independent, but just so good. And so, and we talked about it on the last podcast or two podcasts ago, where these slot receivers have become like some teams like new possession running backs, basically, right? Like they're getting great matchups lining up in the slot where the teams aren't bringing their best cornerbacks in. And
right, neither Miami nor Arizona has any running game, and so when they need 6 yards, they don't hand the ball to someone to run with it. They just pass to a guy who catches basically every ball thrown his way. And Fitzgerald, one of the best in the league at turning targets into receptions, really for his whole
career. One game that could have a ton of fantasy implications this week is New Orleans goes in and plays the Rams. This game has by far the highest over under at 54, and it projects to be close with the Rams only -2.5 favorites, which is basically like that's the home bump they're getting. So they're Vegas essentially seeing this game as a pick 'em. With this many points going up on the board, are we, you know, we're getting kind of fair pricing on a lot of these guys. You know, the Saints running backs have seen their prices consistently increase over the last couple of weeks, and they're still in a timeshare. Let's start with the Saints side of the ball. This game could have a ton of points going up on it, and I'm not totally seeing what stands out like in terms of value.
And Michael Thomas for me still remains a value. The running backs are way too expensive. There's no way that they, or really any team probably since I've been doing this, have been able to sustain two $8,000 running backs. So yeah, whatever's happened has happened. It's all well and good. But I think Thomas has really just run very, very badly in terms of touchdowns this season. I get that he's not the first look necessarily once they get down there, but it's just awfully tough to just turn. Like, how many receptions has it been now since he scored a touchdown? It's been 40, at least 40 receptions since he's turned one of those into a touchdown. That just strikes me as wrong. And I think he's too cheap as a result.
He basically dropped one last week. Breeze, he ran Breeze through a pass, and Thomas underran the route and was, if he had just continued, like he basically underran the route and ended up leaping for the ball at the 5 yard line, which would, and then dropped it. But if he had just continued running the route instead of jumping the ball, it looked like it would have just landed in his hands in the end zone. And all of a sudden we're getting rid of some of these touchdowns concerns. I'm totally with you. I still think we're getting exceptional value on him. He's still expensive in terms of like relative to the field. Although I take that back. Now on FanDuel, he's like the sixth most expensive wide receiver. I'm with you. I think probably like him on a points per dollar basis better than guys like Baldwin, and definitely more than some of the other guys above, although we didn't get to Antonio Brown yet. On the Rams side of the ball, they're going to be without Robert Woods. I feel like Cooper Kupp is going to be very chalky this week just because of the price and how many targets were vacated when Woods went out. Do you feel the same way about Kupp? And then, I mean, some of these other wide receivers like Sammy Watkins is a guy that people want to love, and he just never really seems to do anything. What are your thoughts here on the Rams side?
I think Kupp is a terrific play here. I think he's the exact kind of guy you want, at least from our system's perspective, where our system is always kind of flirting. Like, I don't know, Cooper Kupp at 5,400, it's kind of reasonable, 7 targets a game, and opening up all those Woods targets, who had been by far the most targeted guy recently. Yeah, I think Kupp is just terrific. I think Watkins, I guess, interesting for big tournament purposes, but just really, frankly, in no stage in his career has he really produced on any fantasy price with any sort of consistency. So sure, he's under 6,000. Maybe you take a stab for big tourneys, but don't bother for cash game purposes.
Yep. And then what about a guy like Todd Gurley has had a lot of usage here. The Saints have been a pretty good defense this season, all things considered. And they actually have a pretty good passing defense as well. But is Gurley a guy something in the way of usage decrease over the last couple of weeks? Do you think we could see a bounce back performance from him?
Yeah, Gurley not totally passing the sniff test for me on this price range right now. I get that the fantasy totals have been pretty reasonable. They've been very, very supported by touchdowns and just kind of like, you know, odd bouncing around in terms of his opportunity. So yeah, overall the touches in the last 3 weeks, 18, 17, 18, that's not worth 8,500 almost ever. And I get that there's a lot of fantasy points to go around here, but I think with Gurley, you're kind of paying for him here and needing him to hit more than his average production, you know what I mean? Or like hitting more than, I guess, more his median production. Like if he goes out there and scores 16 fantasy points, you're pretty unhappy. And I think that's a pretty fair projection for him here.
Yeah, Saints actually do rank 26th. They've been very bad against the run all for the course of the season. 26th against the run with a 4th against the pass. So I think there's probably my concerns with Gurley are the same as yours, in that I just don't think that we're going to get like that elite group of usage like the Fournettes of the world. It was Zeke Elliott when he's around, and clearly Le'Veon Bell, who we're going to talk about next. It seems like he's in one tier below those guys. All right, final game for Sunday, not included on the DraftKings main slate, obviously, but it is included on FanDuel. Pittsburgh, another huge favorite, -14 against Green Bay at home. Here, is this a Le'Veon Bell, kind of just jam Le'Veon Bell spot in here, because just the way they use him and just the way the game sort of looks like it's going to play on paper? Do you think Bell ends up becoming, just for those reasons, it's very expensive, but for those reasons, do you think he becomes one of maybe the highest on running back on the slate?
Could be. Yeah. The last game against Tennessee was somewhat underwhelming. He did see 11 targets in that game, so you really love to see that. We kind of know what the floor is on Bell. You know, 13, 14 fantasy points, which is not good at all on 9,400, but not a complete disaster if it comes to fruition. And that assumes that he won't be scoring touchdowns too. And I think another guy who's run bad in terms of overall touchdowns this season, just 5 touchdowns for Bell strikes me as far below his expectation for a guy who, you know, had 30 touches against Indianapolis, 27 against Detroit, 38 against Cincinnati, 35 against Kansas City. He's just running bad in terms of touchdowns. So I think we see the fantasy totals rise a little bit. And yeah, Green Bay is a great time for that to get started.
It's awfully hard to do, but I mean, we've talked in the past about how just playing Bell and Brown together and a lot of times can make up a lot of the floors because those guys. Yeah, but Brown's so expensive that he's coming off a huge game last week where he caught 3 touchdowns and, you know, went 10 for 144 with 3 touchdowns. His price is all the way up to 9,600 on FanDuel. It's somewhere in that same range on DraftKings. It seems like if I was going to choose between paying up for one or the other, I would go Bell in this spot. And there's just a lot of risk with paying this much for a guy, right? Like when you're paying this much, you need a lot to go right. And
particularly on Brown, I mean, look at the floor on Brown this season. We've seen multiple games with single digit fantasy points, and your week is just over, especially if he's not very highly owned. So I would be very hesitant to roll Brown out in the cash games.
And Green Bay side, you know, we've seen Devontae Adams become Brent Hundley's clear target. It looks like they're going to be playing catch up this whole game. Is knowing that that's with the idea that that's probably going to be the case, does Adams start sniffing into cash game discussions here because of just how they've used them recently with Hundley under center?
I think so. Yeah. 10, 8, 10 targets the last 3 weeks, turning that into really good number of receptions and receiving yards is a red zone target too. Definitely a solid play at 66.
And the Monday night game is Houston and Baltimore. So have fun watching that. I'm not even going to go into that game. All right, DFSR.com/NBA gets you that free 3-day trial. Go check out our projection system. We'll be updating it from now up until lineup lock like we do every week. You go over to the chat room. We're always in there leading up to every slate that's going on for NBA and NFL, discussing some of our thoughts, answering questions, just kind of building a community over there with our DFSR chatters. So shout out to those guys. Go check them out and ask them questions too. They'll let you know about, you know, what they think of our service. DFSR.com/NBA will get you started free for 3 days and then $34.95 a month after that. Buddy, enjoy your weekend of football, and I'll talk to you again next week when we recap the week that was.
Later, dude.